The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Talkin' Cowboys. Streaming live from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
Touchdown!
Parsons has sacked
it. Prescott keeps it, and he bangs it into the touchdown.
And now your hosts, Isaiah Standback, Nick Harris, Josh Rodriguez, and Kyle Yeomans.
It's a Tuesday edition of Talking Cowboys presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company, live from the Star in Frisco, Texas, in the SWBC studios. We have John Machota, Nick Harris, Chris Beam in the back. I'm Kyle Yeomans, as it's wild card weekend, or week, I should say. It's not weekend yet. Wishful thinking. Got a update from Jerry Jones on 105.3 The Fan this morning. Maybe looking ahead a little bit because of what Jerry had to say, but there's plenty to get to, and we're going to take your calls and text messages today. If you want to go ahead and get a jump start, get on the phone line for our next segment, 888-855-2297. Give us a call, and then the text line is 817-290-3298. What's going on, John?
Not much.
Made the trip back?
Living the dream here. I had a nice, smooth flight back from D.C. All right, but let's just be honest here.
Okay.
So I made a mistake.
Laptop.
And it's not a mistake. I'm happy with it, but I'm moving apartments.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Oh, no.
And it's never good to do it during the season.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And so I had to be
right
out of
now.
My place by today. And so as soon as I got back yesterday, like, I immediately went to my other place and just started getting whatever was left. I did most of the move before, but it's never great to do that during, like, when you're about to leave to, like, you know, go to DC, because I'm just thinking, man, my plane's delayed and all this, like, this is not going to be good or whatever. So I just finished that up last night, so I didn't get really watch a ton of the national championship game. I root heavily against the University of Michigan, so it wasn't going well, so I didn't want to watch it anyway. But the move thing during the season is the dumbest thing. Like, it is the worst. I really wanted to get out of the place I was in, and I really wanted to get in this other place, but so that's what I've been dealing with. So not that you guys care, but I just
you got
to
out. Oh,
that's
I
tough.
Mean, at the buzzer, you're good.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Did you turn in the keys already?
Well, I'm gonna do that today.
But oh, okay.
But I mean, there's nothing in there, so
good.
I have like a looming situation that's like upcoming because my lease ends right in the middle of training camp, and I'm what the hell am I gonna do?
Yeah. So, I had that problem.
Yeah.
Yep.
We'll
I did the same that. Exact thing. We bought our house 6 days before training camp.
Yeah.
Not even 6 days, and then we got back, and within 6 days, we moved into the house. So it just left. It was vacant for like a month while we were gone. And then we moved into the house. And within 3 days of us moving into the house is whenever I figured out that Lorena was pregnant. And then we were having a kid at that point, one kid. And now it's three. So, yeah, I get you. I'm
but
right
but
you
might
you.
Be fine as a multitasker. I'm not. I'm terrible. So when the season goes on, I'm like
that's a lot.
99% just – locked in Cowboys stuff during the season.
Yeah.
So to do this during, I mean, it's just, it's very overwhelming for me. Most people are probably like, it's not that big of a deal. I would have been fine
it's
with
like,
it.
What's this life stuff?
Yeah,
like, get this out of here.
Yeah. which is fine. I just, I don't know.
Type of sacrifice John Machota makes for Cowboys fans out there.
Yeah.
If you ever were interested on John's background, that's what it is.
Yeah.
He's making sacrifice.
I mean, really, my whole life is based around the Dale. I mean, the place I live, everything is in location of this facility. You know, I mean, it really is. My whole life is built around covering the Dallas Cowboys. So. During the season, I try not to have any distractions, and I have this distraction right now that I'm trying to
get rid of.
Yes.
John's going to be living out of Tupperware for the next 10 days.
My new place, just boxes and everything just everywhere. Like, it will sit there until whenever this season ends. No.
I was about to say, like, if you have a pet, like, that pet is just dying for the Cowboys
to lose in the
playoffs
so we can get things situated. No.
John doesn't have one because of that reason.
Because of that reason. It'd be too much work.
So at one point, I was roommates with David Hellman, and he had a dog. And I think it was
Josie.
Josie. I don't think I was traveling yet. Maybe that was what it was. I don't know. But anyway, what happened was, is like, there'd be a lot of times, like, during road games where, like, he'd have to board the dog. And so because of that, I was always like, I'm not getting a pet while I cover the team just because I don't want to have to do that all the time. So no pet.
I could just, I know y'all's conversations and both of your senses of humor. I could just see
you giving him all sorts of flack for that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? Like, you're going to go board that animal?
Yeah.
Dave probably felt, like, awful about it because he loves that dog. And, yeah, it was just the whole thing.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into some news and notes. We just heard from Jerry Jones going into it Tuesday.
We did. We could start with so defensive coordinator Dan Quinn has been generating quite a bit of interest from various teams.
You don't say.
Yeah, and he's not the only one, according to Jerry Jones. Will McClay was reported, I think either late last night or early this morning, that he's generating interest from the Commanders and Panthers for their GM jobs. And Jerry was kind of asked about both, and he said that there are several assistant coaches that have generated interest. He said he expects close to 15 to 20 total interview requests across the board by the end of the hiring cycle. So I guess, you know, Schottenheimer might be thrown into that equation, you know, with him not being an offensive play caller. I'm sure that that could be another team's pitch to make him one if they were to land him. Obviously, Dan Quinn, we've gone through two hiring cycles and he's still, you know, a part of the Dallas Cowboys. So they're going to try to go 3 for 3 here, I'm sure. This coaching staff, and there's a lot to deal with this time of year, obviously, with the playoffs starting and Black Monday in the past now, and, you know, openings kind of figured out already and who's going to end up where. So this is a fascinating time, especially with this coaching staff.
Yeah, I don't see Will leaving. I mean, you have to take these interviews, no question about it. But with the Dan Quinn thing, that's a lot more up in the air just because it's been multiple years where he's sat there and had these opportunities to, you know, return to being a head coach. And you just look at, like, the Eagles situation. That's the way it is going forward. You have a good team.
Yeah.
Teams are trying to take your assistant coaches. So I get it. If you're a Cowboys fan, you look at this and you're, you know, you might panic or whatever, like, oh, well, you know, we could lose Dan Quinn or whatever, but you don't know. And I will say this. The one other thing is that some people might look at it as, oh, this could be a distraction, you know, oh, you know, the team's in the playoffs and now all of a sudden, the coach is doing interviews or whatever like that. Like, Dan Quinn has done so many of these. Mm-hmm. He's a pro's pro. That's not going to take anything away from him getting ready for whoever their opponent is, Packers this week and whatever going forward. So that just comes with it. I mean, if you're a good team, that's how it is. I mean, I've seen it this year with the Lions, you know? Like, the Lions are generally not a team that people are, like, trying to get their assistant coaches, but their offensive and defensive coordinator is getting tons of interviews. So that just comes with it. If you're going to be a good team, you're going to have this happen to you all the time.
And it's always going to go into the playoffs because that's when teams are looking. Black Monday is already in the rearview mirror, and teams are making their moves. You also look at, I mean, look at the Super Bowl teams last year. You have Philadelphia on one side, and you have Kansas City on the other side. Those coordinators, pretty much all four of them, I think it was three of the four, took new jobs in 2023. You had both of the coordinators for Philadelphia, and then you had Eric Bieniemy go to the offensive coordinator job in Washington. So it is interesting to see just how much of that does come down going into the playoffs. Of course, none of it's going to come to light until after that team is eliminated or however long that ends up running.
Yeah, it's just the juggle game, I guess, at the end of the day. And there's nothing that the Cowboys can do to control that.
Real quickly, which one do you feel like would be the most significant loss out of the two, Will McClay or Dan Quinn?
Will McClay. Yeah, I think so, too. For sure.
And it may not be the biggest name because Dan Quinn's going to be a head coach and he'll be out there and it'll be in the news. But if Will McClay walks, that's a massive blow.
You look at the way this roster has been constructed since Will McClay has been here. I mean, his footprint is all, or his fingerprints are all over it. Footprint
too.
Yeah, I guess
he's kicking the door in.
His prints are all over it.
Yeah.
You know, he's big on those verified measurement verified athleticism numbers that come out of the draft. Mm-hmm. He's big on, you know, looking for those really small school guys that have been able to come in. He prefers that athleticism. You can see it on the team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Dan Quinn has been a big part of that as well. So I think Will McClay would be the bigger loss just because you would have to account for that just personnel mindset. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to find, you know, completely because everyone has a different personnel mindset in the scouting department. So I think that would be the bigger loss as far as replacing him. So, yeah.
I'd agree, especially just because of the fact of where this team is right now. You know, all the guys, the ones on the wall behind you right there, and he's over here. I mean, he's, you know, helped draft those guys, and they're all making lots of money. And so for to pay Dak and CD and Mike those next contracts, you're going to really be relying on the draft going forward and finding some gems there. So, losing Will would be huge.
You said you don't anticipate him leaving. Why?
Well, he has said this a bunch, and I don't think it's changed. I mean, one of his top goals is that he wants to win a Super Bowl with mm-hmm. Jerry Jones, you know, and he's close with the Jones family. He's obviously been here. I know he really likes it here.
Yeah.
Not just the Cowboys, but living in Texas and that. And so I think it would be easier for him to move to another gig if they were coming off winning the Super Bowl. But not when, you know, it's kind of like, I mean, last night's a good example. Like, there's a part of the Jim Harbaugh story where he went back to his alma mater and he's going to try and turn this thing around. Finally, you know, I mean, they're just getting owned by Ohio State for like two decades. And he turns it around. They win three in a row, gets them in the college football playoff 3 years in a row, and then finally wins the national championship. Because of that, I think he's gone.
Yeah.
You know? And for Will, if he was to, you know, if they were to win a Super Bowl here, maybe then. I just think that that's something he really wants to do, you know? And I'm not saying that he feels this way, but I wouldn't be surprised if he does or not. But I'm sure he feels like they're close, and I'll just use it as my own perspective for my own job. And I've probably told you guys this before, and I don't know if I've ever said it on the air before, but one of my biggest fears would be to cover another team, to leave this beat when the Cowboys win a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I would be sick to my stomach if I left and then they won, you know, because it's just different, you know, and people can sit there and that don't like the Cowboys and say, oh, America's team and all that, and it's not whatever. This is just, but it is different. The Cowboys are different. So, and I don't know if you took it this way, but Jerry on the radio today, I kind of felt like was saying that, like in a way, like, you know, when he said the thing about Exxon, I was kind of feeling like he's not going to come out and say, like, this is the Dallas Cowboys. We're going to be fine. We're going to get people. But it is just different. And so if you feel like they're close, like I'm sure Will does, I think it'd be really hard to leave this.
Yeah, I agree. Moving on to Stephon Gilmore and Tyler Smith injury news coming into this week. We didn't touch on it yesterday with Stephon Gilmore, but dislocated his shoulder in the win against Washington and was able to pop it back in place on the sideline, had the second half with a sling over his shoulder, and then told Mike McCarthy after the game, I'm good, I'm going to be ready, and then told reporters after the game in the locker room that he felt great and that, you know, it just kind of depends on the week. And that was more of what we heard yesterday from Mike McCarthy and then this morning again from Jerry Jones. Sounds like he'll probably get a rest day tomorrow on Wednesday, if I would have to guess, and then probably limited on Thursday and or Friday. But I fully expect Stephon Gilmore to go on Sunday, it appears. He'll probably wear one of those harnesses under his jersey to protect the shoulder. I wonder how much of his, you know, movement will be conflicted with, but we'll just kind of see as the week goes on. That'll be a little bit more clear. And then Tyler Smith, sounds like he's going to get ready to go this week as well, dealing with that torn plantar fascia that he suffered against Detroit, obviously. But it sounds like they're looking forward to getting him back on the field and this week in a limited practice fashion, and then play on Sunday against Green Bay.
So good news on both fronts. Stephon Gilmore, starting with him specifically, I mean, we asked Barry Church on post-game show coverage of when you're wearing a brace like that on your shoulder, how can that affect you as a defensive back? How can that affect you? Of course, Barry played safety, but he was saying from a cornerback standpoint, it's not going to affect you as much because you can still move, you can still use your hands, you can still be semi-physical, probably not as physical, especially in the run game. Can't come downhill and just hit people with your shoulder or anything like that, but it is going to affect you just from a physicality standpoint. In terms of the actual coverage ability and the way that he's able to defend the pass, it shouldn't affect Stephon Gilmore too much. So great news, especially in a scary moment where he was being held coming off the field. I thought it could have been a lot worse than what it was.
Oh, yeah, and we go back to that, the Trayvon Diggs injury. I remember, you know, that was talk then. It was just, well, that's a big loss. But then it's also one of those, you look at the depth at the position, mm-hmm. like a significant drop off.
It's the only year you probably could have done that.
Right. And so when this is two games now where Gilmore's been kind of slow to get up on different things recently, and you just think, okay, well, there's a big drop off if you don't have him. So even him with a harness and maybe being, say, 90%, 85%, I mean, you'll take that to over the fact of, or the possibility of you not having him. So,
it was funny this morning hearing Jerry Jones talking about being healthy going into the playoffs, and he was talking specifically about this team. He wouldn't want to set him up any better. He wouldn't want to put him in his position better. The first thing that popped in my head was, man, I would love Trayvon Diggs.
Yeah, on this me roster. Too. Yeah. Me too.
I would love Trayvon Diggs on this roster. I'd love Leighton Vander Esch on this roster too.
Overshown.
I think Overshown would be a huge piece. But I get what he's saying. Yeah. I mean, overall, the health of this team, the cornerstones of this franchise, they are healthy going into the postseason. I completely agree. They're in a good spot, but man, it would push them over the top if you had guys like that available.
Look, with Stephon Gilmore and Nashawn Wright, because that was who kind of came in for Gilmore mm-hmm. after he got hurt on Sunday. How catastrophic would it be if Gilmore couldn't play, right?
Why do we got to talk about this?
I'm just throwing it out there. How is it a catastrophic thing? I think about Nashawn Wright, I see a strong training camp, honestly, that he had.
Yeah.
A preseason that he put together where he had some really shining moments, but he hasn't really been trusted on the field just yet so far this year. Battled a little bit of injury early in the season, too. And we haven't quite seen that third-round type talent from Nashawn Wright since he's been in Dallas. So is it a huge catastrophic loss if Stephon Gilmore cannot play on Sunday? I think it's a reasonable thing to kind of look at.
I would say yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'd use the word catastrophic, yeah. But if I was ranking, you know, the roster and players that you can't afford to lose, he's certainly in the top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say top five.
Borderline top five.
Borderline top five.
I mean, okay, Dak, Micah.
CD.
CD. Yeah, those are top three, no doubt.
The top three is then just so clear.
I would say two offensive linemen, probably. Zach. I mean, we've seen you can survive without Zach, but
put like Gilmore above the offensive line.
Yeah, because you feel better about Brock Hoffman and TJ Bass behind him. What about Tyron Smith?
Yeah,
that's big.
Chuma. Yeah. Depends on who you're going against.
Yeah, Terrence. Steele.
I think Tyron Smith's got to be in that.
He's
got
Tyron Smith. Top four. Tyron Smith's probably the only offensive lineman I would put above Gilmore.
Pretty rough after that.
But yeah, I think Gilmore's borderline DeMone top Clark. Five. Damone, yeah, just because you don't have anybody else, period.
If Damone Clark goes down, who's off ball linebacker?
Wanye Thomas.
Yeah, I mean, it's yikes.
It's rough.
Yeah. It's yikes.
Buddy Johnson.
Yeah.
Off of the practice squad?
Probably so. He's been getting those elevations, and then the elevations reset this week, reset for the playoffs. They can elevate whoever for the playoffs, so that'll obviously help the depth.
Is there a limit in the playoffs? Is it only three?
No.
You can go all four games.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
There you go.
Yep, so. We will see how that goes down. But other than those two notes, we talked to coordinators yesterday. There seems to be some confidence in this building for going into this week, going into the playoffs. No one came out and said it, but this is probably the opportunity that they feel best about, you know, getting the Packers in the first round, avoiding both the 49ers and the red hot Rams until the NFC championship game at the latest. You know, these first two rounds at home too, you couldn't have asked it to be set up much better. And you feel the confidence around this building, and you felt it yesterday talking to Mike McCarthy, talking to the coordinators. You know, they feel good going into this week.
Yeah. The big thing for me with their position that they're in, because I agree with Jerry, the health is outstanding with all things considered. You look at other teams and where they're at, everyone, like when you mentioned Trayvon Diggs, there's every team like that's in there wants. If it's not a guy that's missing, it's somebody that's banged up right now that you'd love to have him at 100%. But the thing for me that makes it feel like this could be different is that they're battle tested. Yeah. That the things that they've done the last couple of years have put them in a position that nothing that should happen going forward should be any bit of a surprise, no matter what happens. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to go to San Francisco. You've already gone to San Francisco. You know, yeah, it's going to be tough. Everybody knows that they're going to be favored, and they're probably the better team. But that doesn't mean that in this league of parity that you can't have the better day, win that game, boom, you're in the Super Bowl. You know, like this Packers team, are they really battle-tested? Not really. The Lions? No. So it's like you look at, like, the Eagles – the Niners and the Cowboys, those are the teams going into this playoff. They were like, yeah, those are the teams that they've kind of been through it. And now with the way the Eagles are playing, I don't think anybody looks at them as that type of a thing. And frankly, if you're a Cowboys fan, you would want to play the Eagles. You'd want them to be the team that you'd have to go against, because it'd be at AT&T Stadium, you know. Yeah. For a long time, I know I was thinking that, well, if they're going to go through the Eagles, they're going to have to go to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
January could be, you know, just awful weather, bad, ugly game. But they've gotten all this from the last 2 years built up with so many key players on this team that they should be ready for whatever happens. Come out in a slow start, They shouldn't blink. They should be able to respond to anything that happens to them because of what they've gone through. So
I said this yesterday. I'm curious your opinion, John. There's no excuse why this team shouldn't win two games.
None.
There's no excuse in my book.
I thought of it literally when you talked about the Gilmore thing. Yeah. I was like, even without him, they should be able to win offense alone. CD and Dak, the level they're playing at, is good enough for me that I believe with them playing at home, they should beat the Packers, they should beat the Lions, they should be in the NFC Championship game. And then whatever happens from there, happens from there. But yeah, no, it's a disappointment if they don't get the NFC Championship game. Yeah.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And there's been reports out there about McCarthy's future and the tenure with the head coach. I don't necessarily buy it. I think there is a concern on playoff success, and I think there's going to be a level of interest from the fan base in his future. I think his future's locked up. That's just my personal opinion. I think he's going to be here based off of Jerry Jones's answers and based off of really the way that this current franchise feels about their head coach. They look to him now more than they ever have.
I agree with you, but I think there is a difference between making it to the NFC Championship game and stumbling against the Packers in the wild card round, mm-hmm. and how "quote unquote locked up," you are. You know, at the end of
sure.
the day. Because
if you come out and you lay an egg against Green yeah. Bay, then maybe we can have that conversation.
Yeah, and I think that's where things get a little bit. That's where talking points get made.
Yeah,
because that's going to be everything that's talked about next week, is that, you know, playoff success hasn't been here, yeah. even though 12-win seasons have. But let's get to the game first.
Yeah, we got to play the games, yeah. right? All right, when we come back here on Talking Cowboys, we're going to take your phone calls, 888-855-2297. If you don't want to give us a call, shoot us a text message, 817-290-3298. It's a Talking Tuesday when we come back right after this.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Black Rifle Coffee Company serves premium coffee to people who love America. When you drink Black Rifle Coffee, you are directly supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders in your community. Black Rifle's expert roasters love coffee almost as much as Texas loves football, so it makes sense that America's Coffee partnered with America's team. Go online at blackriflecoffee.com and fuel up with the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. That's blackriflecoffee.com to fuel up today.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys, and now he's on his phone on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time, but what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper is the one you deserve.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Back to Talking Cowboys.
Back here on Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company. This segment is brought to you by Quaker Oats, a super trusted superfood. Quaker Oats, the official oatmeal sponsor of the Dallas Cowboys. We have John Machota, Nick Harris, Chris Beam in the back. Give us a call, 888-855-2297. Our first text message that I saw today, it's from a 609. It says, can you guys start a rumor that Jimmy Johnson's going to be at the game this weekend, just so we have more Cowboys fans there than Packer fans? I like it. There's a little bit of a strategy play there.
Yeah.
Do you expect a lot of Packers fans, John?
Yeah, I mean, there shouldn't be more super than, well. Yeah. There should not be more than Cowboys fans. No. That would be embarrassing. But yeah,
especially this year, yeah. It's a whiteout. It's
right.
Big game.
And then just where the Cowboys are at. I mean, this is a team that could go to the Super Bowl. Like, I don't think Packers fans are looking at this Packers. I mean, they're looking at this Packers team like, whoa, where did this come from? I there's going to be a lot of Packers fans there just because there's a lot of Packers fans in the country. But it's not going to be like, oh, I don't know, Sunday in our nation's capital. I mean, that was so bad.
Yeah.
I mean,
what was the percentage?
80.
80% Cowboys fans?
Don't look at me. I wasn't there. So
that's fair. 70, at least 70. You know, walking in just and then walking around the concourse and things like that. I watched two series down in the stands when the game started. And, I mean, like all behind the Cowboys bench was like a Cowboys home game for sure. And then just the upper bowl wasn't completely sold out. So that you got to factor that in too. Yeah. You know, so I'll say 70 as an
official number.
But
official estimate.
If you're a Commanders fan, why would you go to that game?
No.
You know, this is like a hated rival.
Yep.
You know they're probably going to win. The only reason you'd go is to play spoiler. Yep. You know?
You're probably going to get beat 38-10.
Right.
I mean,
if you're a Commanders fan, you probably show up in a Cowboys uniform so that you can get the number 2 overall pick.
That's true, too. Yeah, you're cheering for the opposite side.
I think the Packers fans will probably look like there's more than there probably are just because if Cowboys fans are wearing all white and then they're wearing green and yellow, that's going to stand out. So it'll probably look that way, but I don't think it'll be, I don't know, 25% maybe at the most.
Got to be. That's it. Maximum. Cowboys Nation, get out there.
I don't understand why Cowboys fans wouldn't be pumped to go to this game.
You got to be pumped to go to this. Two straight home games, you're 8-0 at home.
Jerry Jones was kind of asked about it this morning about, like, do you try to box out Packer fans from you know, getting tickets? You know,
like, I'm a moron, so I just... Help me out here, guys. How could you do that?
There is a way that you can, like, section off zip codes from buying tickets.
Yeah,
that's the exact a big brain word.
I think there's a lot of Packers fans that just live down here.
Yeah, that's true. So exactly. It's like it's
still
going to
happen.
Damn near impossible to do it completely. But
so what you do is you buy the ticket yourself if you're a Packers fan, and then any of your friends that are coming down from Green Bay or whatever like that. Like, I just don't think that it would be. I just think it would be too difficult to try and, you know, limit that.
Yeah.
If you're going to go to the game, if you are set as a fan, at least I know it in my experiences, if you know you're headed to an event and you want to go, you're going to find any way possible to get into the game.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You're going to text a friend. You're going to text a family member that you've never talked to in 3 years to try and ask it, hey, you live in Dallas. Can you possibly buy us tickets? Doesn't matter. You're going to find a way into the building. Yeah. Scalp at the game. SeatGeek doesn't geofence anybody. I mean,
that's true.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
All right. We've got a couple phone calls on a Talkin' Tuesday. If you're interested in giving us a call, 888-855-2297. Let's start some things off with Dano in Florida. What's going on, Dano? Welcome back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Good. Hey, a couple questions. Well, first of all, a statement. This weekend's game brings me back to the 66 game, which was my first Dallas-Green Bay championship game where Leon Donahue missed that block on Dave Robinson causing Meredith to throw the pick in the end zone.
Remember that it was yesterday.
There you go. Hey, I'm struggling with Dan Quinn's defense, okay? Not this past week, but prior to that, those last couple drives, to me, he's playing not to lose. Seems like the aggressiveness gets somewhat diminished, and he's playing not to lose rather than to win. And I find I have an issue with that, and that's maybe just me. That's maybe my observation. The other thing I know, Nick yesterday mentioned that you know Karen Steele has played better than what people might think. I disagree with that. I think we have two big holes in that offensive line, Biotish and Steele. And I'm wondering if Collins looks good at any point, if Steele struggles, do they go with
Lyle Collins?
Yeah. So I'll hang up and listen to what you think. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you, Dano. Couple questions there. Let's start with the defensive side of things.
Let's start with your guys' memories of the 66 game. You go first.
Big
go
time. Well, I mean, the Packers went on to win Super Bowl I. Then the next year they came back, met in the NFC Championship game again, 1967. That was also known as the
Ice Bowl.
Ice Bowl. Nice job. Negative 13 degree weather.
Don't like that.
Got it done. And guess what happened?
Anyway.
Cowboys lost. Green Bay went on. They won Super Bowls I and II underneath legendary head coach Vince Lombardi.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, he's on the trophy now. So. I've
heard of his work.
He's done some good things.
So if the Cowboys win those games instead of the Packers, is it the Landry Trophy instead of the Lombardi Trophy?
Yeah, very good shot, honestly. I mean, there were a lot of things that Lombardi did well, but yeah.
But you got to win.
If you're the first one to win it,
you got to win.
It could be the Tom Landry Trophy.
Are we going to start with defense?
Let's start with defense. Yeah.
Okay.
Unless you want to start with Lyle Collins.
Yeah, I'd rather start with that.
Let's start with Lyle Collins.
Came at me a little bit, but it's fine. I think he maybe misunderstood what I said yesterday. I don't believe I said Terrence Steele's been playing better than people that think. But what I more so was saying that he put together 17 games of being on the field for every single snap up until those final couple series on Sunday. And he really struggled in the beginning of the season, and he started to stack really good games over the course of the back half of the season.
I would argue that on the back half, he's played better than most people think.
Absolutely.
I would argue that.
Yeah.
Early in the season, not so much. We're talking week 9 against Philadelphia, not so much. No.
Yeah, that was catastrophic.
Second half of the season, weeks 10 through 18, he was playing better than most people think.
As far as like putting in Lyle Collins in place of him, if things aren't going well, that's just not going to happen. That's just not going to happen in the playoffs this year. It's not going to happen.
No, completely agree. Injury is the only way that I could see them putting Lyle. Like Terrence maybe would have to get hurt. But as long as Terrence is healthy, he's going to stay out there. They're not going to move in Lyle like that. I know they look at Terrence as a piece of the future. Mm-hmm. I don't think they would do that to him on just some bad play, you know. And I don't think he would be bad enough that they would turn to that anyway. I don't know where Lyle's at in terms of being able to step in right away. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he's in shape, looks good, obviously said all the right things when we talked to him last week, but, you know, playing in playoff games, is he ready for that? He might be, but I don't know that they're just going to throw him out there if we really don't like the way this guy's playing. Let's go throw Lyle in there. I don't see that happening. I just think they're too deep into this season to get to the spot where they're at for them to change that up there. What was the other question?
It was Dan Quinn. He's worried about Dan Quinn's defense.
He's not alone on that. I've seen that on Twitter a lot after these games that people think that they're going too much prevent. I just don't think that that's just a Cowboys thing. I think that's just the way football's played nowadays, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Dan Quinn probably knows more about defensive football than all of us, and there's probably a reason he does that. So I guess I'll be the idiot and lean on that.
You look at these final three games that they played after the Buffalo game, and they're only giving up 88 yards per game on the ground. They've forced 5 turnovers in those three games, and they're allowing 17 points per game. So, I mean, this defense is kind of hitting its stride right now. I'm not worried about the defensive unit. As far as it being too conservative at times, I mean, I don't see that as a major issue. I really don't. I think the two major things that I look at as far as like I would put under cons on this defense are, one, there's just kind of a lack of size. They have sacrificed that for athleticism in a lot of areas on all three levels. And then two, being able to handle speed. Other than those two things, like I don't have any concerns about this defense.
One of the questions on our text line, 619, asked, the last caller mentioned Dan Quinn. Is there a possible successor in the building if/when he leaves, who can use these players and their skill set the way that Quinn intended?
To be the next DC?
That could be the next defensive coordinator.
I don't see it.
I don't know.
Mike McCarthy's wanted previous head coaches to be his DC, and he said that before he started calling the offense.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't see how he's not hiring somebody that is a former head coach to be his DC.
I agree with you. I think two guys on the defensive staff could be coordinators one day, not necessarily saying that they could.
Oh, no, there's those guys, but I'm saying
Joe Witt and Al Harris.
But for sure. Al Harris was the first one I thought of.
It would probably be Joe Witt before Al Harris.
Here. Specifically here, it would be Joe Witt, definitely.
I would just be very surprised. The only way I could see it maybe happening is if they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they were like, let's just try and keep staff as much as possible. But I find it very hard to believe that it isn't going to be somebody that's been a previous head coach.
Yeah. All right. Marco in Italy. We're going across the pond. What's up, Marco?
Guys, good morning. Thank you for having me back. Always good to talking to you.
Yes, sir. Good to talk to you.
It's, just three good points. First one, I wanted to share with you maybe about Jake Ferguson. I mean, I really like the guy. He's so tough. He gets hit with hammers from defenders when he goes through the middle. Mm-hmm. And his wife stands up saying, "Is this the best that you can do? Do you have anything else to throw at me?" I love the guy. I like his toughness. And he reminds me of Jason Witten. I'm not saying that today he's like Witten. Obviously, we do hope that one day he will be. But his toughness, the way he plays tight end, reminds me of Witten. And I just love the guy. What can I say? I love the guy. Then the question that I have for you is, looking at the 49ers, and we obviously hope that, you know, we cross paths with the 49ers. I don't know whether we hope it, but it may be that we cross paths with the 49ers game. Three of their losses came with AFC North teams, the Browns, the Bengals, and the Ravens. Now, I don't know whether this is just a matter of chance or through the common denominator, the way the AFC North plays football, that is just tough for the Niners to digest. Again, a question for you. You know more than me. I'll be happy to hear it. And then finally, your thoughts. I need your help on one thing. I was thinking about buying cheesesteaks for some teams. I don't know whether that should be the Giants or maybe the Cardinals. Just to reciprocate the nice gesture that the Eagles did last year, to Doug Pederson with the Jaguars. I think it would be extremely nice and polite for us all to buy some cheesesteaks to one of those teams. Just, to show that we're nice guys, because at the end of the day, that's what we Cowboys fans are. Nice guys. Okay?
Thank you so much, Marco.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Always great talking to you. And go Cowboys.
Yes, sir. Go Cowboys. You have to buy a lot of cheesesteaks for those teams because the Eagles lost 5 of 6. That's a lot of cheesesteaks. Got to find a way. Yeah, he said he got to pick a team. Probably the Cardinals is the first one because that's the one that opened the door.
Yeah,
no question.
I'm looking at the combined weight of both teams, and I'm taking the team with the lower combined weight.
Oh, that's next level thinking. Yeah, that's chess, not checkers. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I'm gonna save a buck.
And then he was talking about the AFC North teams that beat the 49ers, the Browns, the Bengals, the Ravens. The AFC North beat everybody. They're first team or first division to finish above 500 in like 80 years. Something like that.
Yeah,
everybody finished above 500.
I mean, yeah, and I do buy in a little bit into that whole playing outside. You know, there is like a toughness, because I will say I do think that you have to be tough to beat the Niners. I don't think you can finesse them.
No,
if you're going to beat them, so I think that's probably part of it, that the style of play probably factors in. But I do think that this Cowboys team, now it is built, and they do play, as Mike McCarthy would say, as a dome team. Mm-hmm. But I do think that they can play tough when they need to. And I think of if they got to the NFC Championship game, all that would be on the line, the fact that this is the team that ended your season the last 2 years, you know, the whole Cowboys-Niners rivalry, I think that they would play a pretty tough game. I don't think that they would get punched in the mouth, and that would be the reason they lost. They might lose because the Niners are a better team, and they just play better at home.
Yeah.
But I don't think that they'll get punched in the mouth and embarrassed. I don't see that happening at all.
Yeah, I agree, especially going back to Santa Clara, too, given what happened in Week 5, as you mentioned. Gosh, it would be meteoric, the hype, if they were able to get that done. Like going, you have 2 weeks to let the Super Bowl build. That would be a lot of fun to just cover and be a part of. But, yeah, got to get there first. 2 more games. But that is a tough team, really tough team.
I just had, like, not even flashbacks because it's never happened before, but just a flash forward of, like you said, the meteoric hype of what it would take if you go and you win these 2 home games, you win against the 49ers, which is easier said than done, and then you're going into the Super Bowl with that hype going into it. Yeah, that would be astronomical. We've got one more phone call. We're going to take our second break, though, before we get to it. We'll get to you in a moment. Mike in New York.
Yes!
When we come back, we're on Talking Cowboys.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready to take coffee off your grocery list forever? Black Rifle Coffee Club is here to help. As a coffee club member, you'll get your favorite coffees roasted, packaged, and shipped to your door free of charge on your preferred schedule. Set it, forget it, and never run low on coffee again. Members also get exclusive deals on coffee, products, and discounts from partner brands. Ease your mind and let Black Rifle worry about your coffee supply. Go to BlackRifleCoffee.com to join the coffee club today.
It's the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. And right now, Cowboys fans can get 15% off their $75 order. Plus, because every deal needs a playmaker, your order will include a free five-piece skincare set and free shipping. The Jack Black Playmaker is four of Jack's favorites and a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Make a play for the playmaker at GetJackBlack.com/Cowboys with the code CowboysVIP. That's GetJackBlack.com. Black.com/Cowboys with the code CowboysVIP.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Back here on Talking Cowboys, presented by Invisalign, the official smile of the Dallas Cowboys. Let's waste no time. Mike in New York, you're on Talking Cowboys. What's up, Mike?
Here we go. I had to, guys. But anyways, as far as the Cowboys go, my biggest health concern is obviously everybody, but I hope Zach Martin can come back. I know he's out with the illness the other day, so it's kind of, you know, if he comes back from that, I'll be happy. And like you said, everybody across the board, we need everybody on deck for this one. I want to be Green Bay so bad. I wish the game was like tomorrow. I can't wait.
Appreciate you, Mike, and always great points bringing up Zach Martin, and he always brings so much energy.
I love Mike.
I love it, man. That's awesome. Here's the thing about Zach Martin. He's got to be back, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's
an just
illness.
A quick illness.
Yeah. I think they caught it. I think he caught it just on the wrong day. All days, he caught it on the wrong day. If he had caught it on Saturday, probably would have been able to get some IVs in, get some treatment in, and play on Sunday.
Yeah.
If he had caught it, obviously, yesterday, then obviously, you know, he'd be fine.
No problem.
This upcoming Sunday. I think he woke up on Sunday, felt ill. And it's what kind of started the snowball effect of eventually.
Because he was with the team on the trip, right?
Yeah, he traveled. He was fine on Saturday. Yeah, yeah. It was Sunday morning, woke up, did not feel well, felt like death. And and then Brock Hoffman stepped in. And BTB, according to Dak Prescott, big time Brock stepped in. So
I like that.
And I was looking through the pictures that they always, you know, they're posted on the team's Instagram account. Like everybody's like, here, just look at these right now. Okay, so like, hey guys, what's up? You know,
yeah,
taking my picture, cool, everything's great.
Pictures.
Hey, what's up? Good. Yeah. Okay,
mm-hmm.
You guys are
walking
there?
Out.
Hey man,
out of
life's
the hotel.
Good. This is great.
Yeah.
This is fun.
Chumadoga, Osa, Jake Ferguson.
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up?
Oh, there's
guys.
Zach Martin.
I don't feel good. It's not time for a picture, okay, man? Like, what are we doing here? I don't want to do the picture thing right now.
But yeah, he is certainly thinking about it.
I guess that one's mine, but there you go. Zach did not seem like he was ready for
wanting to participate in the pregame photo shoot.
Oh, poor guy.
Yeah, I think they're honestly like... You guys look at it more from a Cowboys perspective. I'm not a Cowboys fan.
Yeah. Sure.
I look at it more of just an NFL, like, outside perspective type thing, and I'm just like Zach was dealing with an illness. He's going to be back. This is a playoff game. Tyler Smith is going to be out there. They didn't play him because the plantar fascia. Why not buy him another? Let's be honest.
2 weeks.
They knew they were going to beat Washington. Let's buy him another week.
Yep.
You get Jonathan Hankins back, and then you avoided a catastrophic Stephon Gilmore injury for the second time in the last 3 or 4 weeks. Like, you're in great shape going into the playoffs with all things considered, you know? So, yeah, like, I don't know. I don't think that you could ask for much more. I think it would be unrealistic for you to sit there and expect that you wouldn't have a Trayvon Diggs, that you wouldn't have a Marvin Overshown. That stuff just happens. It's NFL football, you know? Like, that you're going to have those, like, all things considered with the – you look at who are their most important players and the ones that can make the biggest difference in any of these playoff games. Like, they're almost all there, you know, and healthy and playing well.
So kind of along those same lines, the 703, this is Noah in Washington. He says, what makes this team better than the last two playoff teams for the Cowboys? Is that a big part of it, or is it more than that?
Well, I think experience is the big one.
Yeah.
You know, just because, like I said earlier, haven't gone through it. But the other one with me, and I thought about this a lot after the game, was just the way that Dak and CD are playing and the level that they're on makes me think that they're going to be in every game that they play. You know, there were just times in some of these previous seasons where I just didn't see them having that same type of rapport. You know, obviously 2016, you had some of that with Dak and Zeke being rookies, and it was just kind of like they could do no wrong in that, but I don't know that they were playing as well. Now, of course, you can come back and say, well, they were probably running the ball better than they are right now. They're obviously not running it well.
Yeah.
But I just think Dak and CD are playing on a level of – that's the type of stuff that you see. Again, I'm not looking at this as being a Cowboys fan. I'm looking at this as just an NFL observer. And that's the type of stuff that you see, like, getting hot at the right time and that being a difference in the postseason because they're clicking and making huge plays in big moments. Because, let's be honest, there's not going to be a lot of blowouts. Like, these are going to be tight games in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was another good sign, as the previous caller said, Jake Ferguson. I just think that where he's built to, you can trust him, you know, and you can trust Brandon Cooks. And what it just seems like every week that rapport is built with Dak, too. So what they've done through the passing game, I think, is the thing that gives me the most reason to believe. There were moments. Not that I watched all of the game last night, but where you're just kind of like, how many more quarters are you going to play this and for Washington to score another touchdown? Mm-hmm. You know, like it didn't seem like it was going to happen no matter what. Like, Michigan was just leaving the door open for them, and they just weren't going to score. I feel like if you do that to this Cowboys team, they're gonna score.
Yeah.
I just feel like that they have the rapport and that they're playing at a level that they hadn't been playing in years past. And then also Mike McCarthy calling the plays. He's been in a lot of big games. He's got a lot of experience in these situations, and so – I think those are the other things, but health is really high on the list for me.
I agree. Experience and then this offense, the way it's playing right now. And CD kind of had a moment after the Buffalo game where it wasn't as bad as it – or I don't want to say bad, but it wasn't as loud as it was after the San Francisco game when he was like, give me the ball. But it was kind of the same kind of rhetoric. It was like, you know, we got to get me the ball. Like, that's just
it's funny that it's funny that your brain told you to say bad because at the time it was bad.
At the time it was bad.
Depending on where this season goes – talk about how big that moment was, because that could be
game changer,
such a turning point for the entire season.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's so funny you say bad, because that's the way I would think of it in the moment when it happened. You're just like, that's not a good look to have him off to the – why are – he normally is over there with all those guys. Why is he over there by himself? Like, you can tell he's, like, frustrated. Really brought me back to, like, some of the times with Dez Bryant when he was just real frustrated. But you just got used to seeing that from Dez. You're like, hey, he's just passionate. That's the way he goes about it.
Yeah.
But you don't really see that much from CD.
Yeah.
And so that is interesting that you would say bad at first, because I did think that too. But – every week that's come by since, I keep looking back on it and go, man, that might have been the best thing that happened to them.
I got to credit McCarthy with that whole deal as well, because he took that time to bring CD into his office and talk that out during the week after.
Yep.
And I think those conversations really spoke a lot more towards the rest of the season than even that moment in the locker room after San Francisco. But kind of had like a slightly similar moment after Buffalo where it was like, yeah, I mean, this is just a moment where we couldn't give me the ball. We got to give me the ball. And those three games since, quick math, 32 receptions, 443 yards, and four touchdowns in three games.
Like, is that good?
That's pretty – that's up there.
Pretty good.
That's up there. So I think as long as CD is getting his, I don't have any problems with this offense. And then, again, I don't have any problems thinking these next two games don't work out.
Markel from Houston asks us our final question here on this Talking Tuesday. What percentage would you give the Cowboys to win it all from this very moment? I mean, we've talked percentages all year long. By the way, Markel's said his birthday's in 2 days, so they're definitely
fellow
winning
Capricorn.
This game. Yeah, he said they're definitely winning this game. Let's talk about it, because percentages, I mean, 4 weeks left in the regular season gave the Cowboys a 9% chance to win the division. And they ended up winning the division. So numbers don't matter a whole lot, and we're 4 weeks from the Super Bowl. So chances of winning it all, what would you give it?
15-20%.
Okay.
I would say I think that there's a 50% chance that it's either the Niners or Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would put the Cowboys in with everyone else in that other 50%, you know, so yeah. Break it down between them, the Bills. You got to give a little chunk of that pie to the old Chiefs just because of what they've accomplished in the past, right. Man, I'm looking at your computer right now. Man, I just can't believe how much the Eagles have fallen.
It is bad, because I was just thinking about that too. How many teams do I think can win it?
Yeah.
Baltimore, San Fran, done. They're, no doubt they can totally win it. Buffalo, Dallas, absolutely. I think both of those teams are good enough to win it.
Yep.
Kansas City, because of what they've done before. Absolutely. I know they've got their own problems as well, but you can't count out Patrick Mahomes.
The next one is interesting.
The next one, I was like, okay, Philadelphia.
Yeah.
All they got to do is turn
Miami,
it back on.
And then Miami. Yeah. Would be
if that, they yeah. turn it on, they are as good as anybody. They're in that same conversation.
It reminds me of UConn basketball last year, where they just went through like a two-week stretch in January where they were awful.
And
it
was terrible.
Will this team even make the tournament? And then they were the best team in the tournament and won every game by double digits.
Yeah.
The only thing I keep going back to on the Eagles is just like the history of when you lose a Super Bowl, especially one where you had a chance to win. There usually isn't a rebound the next year. Yeah, it's usually much worse than even the season that they've had. But there is something about the way that this season ended that I've thought about that a lot. And then also the whole like curse of you can't win the NFC East 2 years in a row. Like it is just wild how that collapse has happened. I never would have saw that.
I'd say I'm right around with you in between 15-20%, because I think there are six teams legitimately that can win it, and that would put you at about 15% ish. 15-20. So that's where I'm at right now. And I would, of course, skew that a little bit in favor of maybe Baltimore or San Francisco because they have the rest. But Dallas has a shot. They absolutely have a shot.
What's yours?
I'd say about the same. 15-20.
15-20.
You're like 85.
Yeah, you know, some slight.
Maybe we'll revisit this next week. Maybe we'll come back and see if the percentage is higher.
I don't feel like it could be any higher until they play San Francisco. Ask me NFC Championship week, and I would probably still say 15-20.
Yeah. I'd probably be a little higher.
I don't think so. Because, like, that, I expect them to win these two games. Mm-hmm. I expect them to win the wild card. I expect them to win the divisional game. I don't expect them to win an NFC Championship game. I don't expect them to beat the Ravens in a Super Bowl. I don't expect them to compete with the Ravens in a Super Bowl, to be completely honest. But that's
Ravens.
That's way down there.
Yeah.
See, I'm of the belief, though, that they got there. Like you saying on Sunday they got to play the Ravens to win in the wild card round, I don't like that.
Yeah.
But you telling me that they got to the Super Bowl,
and they went.
They're
going to
be riding so high that, and again, just a one game, like elimination. I don't think that. I don't know. I think it would be a coin flip for me. If they get to the Super Bowl, it's a coin flip.
There's a long way to go. Long way to go. And tomorrow we're going to focus a little bit more in on the wild card round, because the Cowboys have the Green Bay Packers, a team that they can't overlook in their own right. Got to be better against the run, got to be better against Jordan Love. I mean, there's a lot going on this week, and we're going to preview the Dallas defensive matchup tomorrow against that Green Bay offense. Isaiah should be back, unfortunately, after his Washington Huskies couldn't get it done.
Yeah, he didn't call in this morning.
I'm
going to pour out some of this water for him.
Yeah.
There we go.
Pour one since out for Isaiah stand back. All right. We'll be back tomorrow to preview Packers, Cowboys, defense versus offense. When we come back at 9 a.m. Central Time. Chris Beam, John Machota, Nick Harris, I'm Kyle Yeoman saying so long from Talking Cowboys. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!